Appliance Discounters is a locally owned company that began with one location in Webster Groves, Missouri in 2009 and has grown to six locations covering Missouri and Illinois. We always offer the lowest price on all appliances for our customers. We carry in-box and out-of-box new appliances at drastically lower prices than any competitor. We purchase our appliances direct and buy the truckload to receive the lowest price from the manufacturers and then pass the savings on to you. That's how we came up with our motto, our savings are your savings. Shop us at theappliancediscounters.com.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
Don't give up on us, baby. We're still
one. It's 2-0 at this point. 12 hours.
This is for the Blues. This is for the Cardinals.
You can watch the game tonight at the Post Sports Bar and Grill.
Well, Tim, in my opinion, there's no better place to watch Blues playoff hockey.
I might get my food from there tonight.
Or Cardinals baseball, unless you're actually at the game, then the Post Sports Bar and Grill. Great specials for Blues playoff hockey. Great pricing on 22-ounce domestic drafts. Free Blue Note shots when Alexander Steen lights a lamp up for the Cards. Great ticket giveaways for Tuesday and Friday games. Free Redbird shots when Randall Grichuk goes deep. You can't get to the game. You get yourself to the Post Sports Bar and Grill. And stay posted, my friends.
There it is. The Blues in action tonight at 8:12. And the Cardinals in action tonight at 7:15. Cardinals and Rockies finishing off the three-game set. Blues and Sharks, game three of the Western Conference Finals. Looking forward to that one. John Kelly's going to join us from San Jose on the Appliance Discounter phone lines in a matter of moments. We have the Appliance, the email of the day, which is a free custom club fitting with a golfsmith specialist today. The morning after at InsideSTL.com, send your emails in. It is our Tease Farms, 9 o'clock hour here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Tease Farms with three St. Louis area locations to serve you. Bud Light is the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After, and they are our presenting sponsor of all our Stanley Cup playoff coverage, and it is our pleasure to welcome to the program right now from San Jose, up early, for my money anyway, John Kelly. John, good morning.
Hey, Tim, how are you doing today?
Good. Did you just get up early for us? Please tell me you didn't.
No, I got up to enjoy the day and get ready for game three. Of course.
Yeah, look, man. At you. Look at John Kelly.
What do you think? He just rolls out of bed?
Yeah, I would sleep until noon. That's what I would do. Well, thank you for being happy to join us.
He's
here
got post-game duties tonight on Fox Sports Midwest.
I know. He's going to be up super late. John Kelly with us here live from San Jose. He's with us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. John, so far, the Sharks have been able to do what they want, and the Blues have kind of struggled to find the success that led to their two series victories against the Blackhawks and the Stars. I'm really curious, as somebody who sees this team play preseason, regular season, and now through 16 games in the postseason, what is it that San Jose is doing? And then the follow-up to that would be, what is it that the Blues aren't doing so far?
Well, you have to give the opposition credit, as you know, guys. And I think right now they're playing very solid hockey. Their structure is perfect. It's great in the neutral zone, in the offensive zone. They're causing a lot of problems with their forecheck. And they're just a really good team. They're like the Blues. They're four lines deep. Their six defensemen are very solid. And they have great structure. So for the Blues, they've got to play better. And they have to have better structure. So I anticipate the Blues playing a lot better tonight. For whatever reason, guys, they've been a better team on the road than they have at home. They had one more road win during the regular season. And now in the playoffs, they're 5-2 on the road. And, you know, you win two games in Chicago and you win three games in Dallas. That's hard to do. So I think the Blues feel that they can get back to their game tonight, and they'll have to because obviously San Jose will be pumped up. But sometimes it is easier to play on the road because you're not worried about making the fancy plays and things like that. But I think the biggest thing is that the Blues have to be sharper with their passing, get back to their structured game, their forechecking game, and hopefully play a lot better than they did in game two.
John, there's a note this morning in the San Jose Mercury News regarding the health of Joe Thornton. He did finish off the game, but they felt like Peter DeBoer was being a little coy regarding his health. Did you hear anything out in San Jose regarding Thornton, any potential issues he might be dealing with?
Well, I just know what I saw the other night. He got slashed, it looked to me like on the wrist or hand, and was in a lot of pain and went off for a while and then came back. So we are going to go to practice this morning. We're going to leave in an hour or so, and we'll get an idea at the morning skate if there's anything up with Joe Thornton. But, you know, at this time of year, guys, you don't get a lot of information as far as injuries are concerned. So that's all I know. What I saw, he did get a pretty good slash on the wrist or hand, and I would be shocked if he can't play tonight, but we'll find out this morning.
Hitch was talking about possibly shaking up the lines a little bit. What do you anticipate, sir?
Jim, I think they'll see a switch on the fourth line. I would believe you're going to put in a player like Yashkin, who scored a game-winning goal in Game 5 in Dallas, or maybe a Ryan Reeves if they feel they need a little more size and physicality. At the same time, who knows, maybe they go with Bertuzzo back on defense, who, you know, was in and out of the lineup in the first two rounds. Joel Edmondson has played very well. I know in the first goal he was chasing the other night out to the point. So maybe, you know, they feel that they need to put in some more veteran experience on defense. So if I was going to look for a couple of changes, that's where I think they would be, on the fourth line and maybe on defense.
J.K., Paul Stastny said it yesterday in his media availability before they took off for San Jose, and I think most people would agree. Nobody thought this series was going to be a sweep. So when the Blues lose a playoff game, it's usually not really that alarming, except for kind of the way it went down on Tuesday, and just not only the lopsided score, but when you're watching the game, just seeing how they didn't seem to have a lot of energy in that game. Why do you think that happened? Because we haven't really seen a game like that, or I don't think we have, for a long time from the Blues.
It's a great question. I don't think anyone really has an answer for that. It's sort of like in baseball, why a team suddenly goes cold at the plate. I mean, there's just not really a firm answer. Maybe there wasn't the desperation that was necessary, and the Blues had a false sense of security after winning Game 1 when they were outplayed, especially in that second period when they outshot 16-5, and they won 2-1 based on the great play of Brian Elliott. So I don't know. But I do know that now you're on the road in a hostile environment. The series tied 1-1, so now you've got to be desperate because now basically it's a best-of-five series. So I think if I had to pick one reason why the Blues didn't play well, aside from the fact that they didn't have good execution, they weren't sharp, is they weren't desperate enough, and now they have to find that desperation here in Game 3.
The Blues have been better on the road in the playoffs than they have at home. Why do you think that is, J.K.? What reasons can you point to?
Well, as I said earlier, Jim, I just think they are more comfortable on the road for whatever reason. The structure, it's for some reason, some teams can get into their flow in their game and not try to be fancy and things like that. And they're very comfortable on the road. They're a competent hockey team. They always have been under Ken Hitchcock in his 5 years here. And as I said earlier, you know, you win games 3 and 4 in Chicago. I remember game 3, they're down by a goal going to the third period. Berglund ties it, and then they get a game winner from Schwartz. In game 4, there were those horrendous calls against the Blues and some tough luck late, and they still hung on for a victory. So, you know, they've overcome adversity on the road. They've won big games, not just in the playoffs, but, you know, they won in L.A. this year. They won in Chicago, the game they were down 5-2. So they just have a lot of confidence. And I think that's it's really hard to believe to me when you look at the atmosphere at Scott Trade and the great crowds that have been on hand, and the Blues are a game under 500 in the playoffs. And on the road, they're 5-2. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but I guess we'll just hopefully that will continue, and that trend will continue here tonight in Game 3.
Yeah, I know you had referenced that earlier. I just wanted to expand upon that as only you can. one of the things that
that's his way of saying he wasn't listening and asked you the same question that was already asked.
I didn't want to say that and embarrass the cat. He's a good friend of mine.
Again, I knew you had talked about it. I was looking to expand on that because it's obviously a big part of this
series.
Hey,
by the way, Jim, the Cardinals won last night, okay?
They did indeed.
And John Kelly is a huge Cardinals fan.
That's right.
He was going to give up on rooting for the Cardinals when Lance Lynn had the surgery because that's your favorite player. But you're still on board, right? You still watch a lot of games when you can, right?
Absolutely. I love your work and your broadcast. And my son was there last night, and they won 2-0, I believe. So that's good for the Cardinals.
Yep. Starting pitching, Charlie.
That's true. Well, I have another hockey question, if you don't mind, Kat, to ask to ask JK.
Ask him why the Blues are better on the road.
Okay. We'll wait till our next guest to ask that. But, you know, Western Conference Finals, so you'd think that you're playing the best team you've played in the postseason. But, you know, obviously by regular season record and then, you know, sometimes looking at just Stanley Cup playoffs pedigree the last few years, I mean, do you think the Sharks are necessarily better than the Blackhawks or the Stars? And I know it's only two games, but is there a matchup that isn't favorable against the Blues? How do you look at that?
Well, obviously, until we know what, you know, takes place in the series, it's hard to say, and it's hard to compare a team like San Jose to Chicago, a club that's won three cups in 6 years. I think that they're certainly a better team than Dallas, especially considering Sagan didn't play in the entire series. I think they're a deeper team than Chicago. You know, there was a big drop-off on Chicago's defense from their top three to their bottom three on the back end.
Yeah.
I mean, a real big, they had three rookies in their lineup on defense. And the Blues exposed that as the series went along. And, of course, on the winning goal by Brouwer, one of the rookie defensemen made a mistake. So I think the biggest thing is that San Jose, as I said earlier, they're four lines deep. They're six defensemen, all play pretty well the same amount of minutes. And they're just a more solid team. Now, are they a better team than Chicago? I think we can answer that question after this series. And obviously, if they win, after the Stanley Cup final. But obviously the Blues and Sharks both have had a lot of disappointment the last, not just the last couple of years, but really the last, say, 15 years or so. They've both had a lot of really good teams that for some reason or another can't get over the hump. And now obviously one of these two teams will go to the Stanley Cup final. But I think it's too early to say, are they better than Chicago? When I think you have to give Chicago a lot of credit having won three cups here.
I do think they are a little tougher. I mean, I think San Jose is a little bit tougher. I'm not trying to say skill-wise that they're better than the Blackhawks, but they just seem to have a little bit more of an edge to them.
Yeah, you know, Jim, you're right. I think that the physicality of the Sharks, not so much on defense, although a guy like Brent Burns is a big guy, but he's more of a skill player. But, you know, their forecheck has really given the Blues a lot of problems. And I think if I had to pick one thing that the Blues need to do a lot better in games 3 and 4 and down the road here is they've got to have a lot better exits out of their zone. San Jose's forecheck, and a lot of it's because of their size, has been a lot better than the Blues have been able to withstand. And I think the difference between, say, San Jose and Chicago comes at you, but they come at you with a ton of skill in the offensive zone with the Canes and the Panarin and the Taves and all the players we know about. But San Jose does it, you know, sort of like the Blues do. They do it with four lines. They're relentless. They hound you. They hem you in. And right now they've been the better forechecking team in the first two games.
Pierre LeBrun writes this morning, or I guess it was yesterday, but it's six reasons why the Sharks have the upper hand heading into game three. And he focuses on one of the points being the matchup with Alexander Steen's unit and how great they were, in particular against the Blackhawks and the Stars, John. But so far, as he writes, they've taken some of the sheen off of Steen. Is everything all right there, you think, with Steen? What do you think's going on with that so far, two games in?
Well, they moved him onto the Tarasenko line in the third period, and they did that a bit in the Dallas series. You know, he suffered a pretty tough injury in Phoenix in the middle of the year, and I don't know if he's 100%. I really don't. But he's played very good hockey. He's been superb in his own zone as a checking center, and as we all know, he's been mainly a left winger for the Blues for the last, you know, 6-7 years. But he is, without a doubt, their best two-way center iceman. So I don't know. I think it's a little bit early to make those decisions right now that, you know, this line is having the upper hand on another line. I think it's way too early in this series to come to those kind of conclusions. Steen has been superb so far in the playoffs, and I'll be interested to see what Hitch does tonight with the lines. Maybe he goes back with, you know, the Steen back as Berglund line, or maybe he switches things up and and looks for a different kind of edge or a different kind of look. We'll find out tonight.
John Kelly live from San Jose. Game 3 tonight and post-game coverage on Fox Sports Midwest with John Kelly and Darren Pang. Looking forward to watching that. I always flip right on over after the game on NBC.
Our post-game coverage is better than what you see on Channel 4, Channel 5, or Channel 2.
Wow.
Because our guys are the guys that know hockey because they do the game.
But hold on, hold on. Will they cover why the Blues are so good on the
Sorry,
road,
you have
though?
To listen to this, John.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
Thanks for having me. All right, guys, thank you.
Thanks, John.
There he is, John Kelly.
He's great.
On the program here, giving us his perspective on tonight's festivities. Charlie, let's go out and get one in San Jose, okay?
At least one. You just need one of the two. Again, you want to get tonight, but as long as they come back for Game 5 and it's a splitty, as we call it, Cat, we're good with that.
Plowshark leaving the room. Plowshark entering the room. Sometimes you can hear the door squeak in the background as people come and go to and fro.
Well, I feel bad because the first hour, apparently, I was using the cough button thinking it worked.
I was telling you it doesn't work.
Okay, right. But we do a whole hour-long segment. You have to tell me on air. And I'm sure I was coughing in the mic the whole time.
You pointed to it, and I go, it doesn't work. I was giving you the international doesn't work.
That was after I, asked about it.
Yeah, it doesn't work. And Doug, said, it gets in the way of actually placing anything on the console because it's kind of raised up a little bit, yet it's non-functional.
So it's just for, aesthetic
right.
purposes?
Right. You like it?
Oh, yeah.
It's an accoutrement.
It adds a lot.
No, God, you're right. Hey, it's the Tease Farms 9 o'clock hour here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. If you enjoy your shrubs, then you'll enjoy Tease Farms. They're the official shrub sponsor of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. You can check them out at teesfarm.com. That's T-H-I-E-S, teesfarm.com, with locations in Maryland Heights, St. Charles, and North Hanley. They've been around since 1885. Let me tell you, they know a thing or two about everything green. Tell them CBS Sports 105.7 HD2, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com sent you in for great discounts on your purchase. Seventh generation family-owned farm. It's Tease Farms. Hey, boys, turn your damn phones off. Thanks, Bubbles. Does somebody have a vibrating phone going?
Wasn't me.
Wasn't me.
The cat, wasn't me.
You? Perfect. Plow Shark, you got anything going on over there? No, no Plow Shark. Let's see. Sometimes tin, more like every tin. Some wise guy. Doug, what does that mean? Charlie, what does that mean?
I don't know. Cat?
I would say sometimes it's more like tin, sometimes it's like every tin, right? I mean,
sure.
That's the gist of it.
Sometimes I feel like people text in things that are meant for somebody else, and they come into our text inbox, and I kind of like that.
I was just having a chuckle because it was funny. I don't think he was directly asked the question, but he definitely talked about being really good on the road. But the cat's under the weather, and then we started kind of laughing, so then he made a note to kind of even bring it up even more, the fact that, oh, I knew you talked about it.
No,
I just wanted to reiterate and expound on the fact of why they're 5-2.
Sometimes, a servant's answer is good enough for you or the two fox, but when I see something that's got a lot of meat on the bone, I say you got to expand it a little bit and let John, because John Kelly's known for being able to expand on
Correct.
Great points. Let him do his thing.
But I'm the same way. If we're doing the rotation of questions, I always have the one question in my chamber. And then now if somebody else, then I'll have to think of another one. But if you ask that question that I was going to ask, then you're for the next 15 seconds, what if he has a short answer? You got to come up with something. Boom, Cat.
No, I actually heard him mention it. But I honestly, so that's my bad. But I honestly heard him mention it, but I wanted to know why.
We're
and if you already explained why, that's on me.
We're just busting bulls.
Charlie, are you a float trip guy?
I've never been on a float trip in my life.
It's probably not an Ohio thing.
No, it's not, but I want to do one.
Well, you can do this. Garrison's River Resort. It's in Steelville, and it's your summer getaway destination for rafting, canoeing, camping, and more. How about that? Campsites with electrical hookups. You can camp out under the stars, but you can rest comfortably in a ranch house or sleep a large group in a bunkhouse. Don't feel like packing a bunch of food and supplies. The diner at Garrison's River Resort's open all day. Check out the barbecue splash package and let them do the cooking. If you make your reservations at Garrison's 2 weeks in advance, you'll receive 20% off. 20% off when mentioning CBS Sports 920. Book online at garrisonscanoe.com or call 1-800-367-8945. 1-800-367-8945. Looking for a float trip? Make sure it's with Garrison's.
How far is it?
River Resort. Steelville. I have done a float trip there. Plowshark, you seem like the kind of guy who would be a float trip guy.
I feel like it's maybe in my. Is it fair to say 90 minutes?
Yeah, give or take, depending on how many.
So you've been.
I've been floating. I haven't been to Garrison's, but I've been.
I'm gonna look into it.
We do.
Tyler
creeks.
Would love it.
We don't do rivers. We do like creeks.
Yeah,
or creeks. So, they call them creeks.
Yes.
You and Mace Dog.
Oh yeah, you would have to double bag your
weed.
Yeah, and ciggies.
Ciggies.
The Hayes family, every year we get together for a float trip. We call it a floating fondue party. And what we do is we have a raft with a fondue on there. And it can be a little dangerous because there's a flame involved. But the fondue raft floats down the middle and we float around it. And we have a delicious fondue.
Guys, I bet that with all that fat, Marlo floats well. Thanks, catfish.
Hilarious. Oh, Charlie, don't laugh. Cat's laughing like it was George Carlin.
Here's why I'm laughing.
That wasn't that funny at all.
Here's why I'm laughing. Because you're not fat. You're not fat.
Charlie, can you post a picture of your luscious hair? You have nice hair.
God, that's good. I am so jealous.
I'm growing it long.
Every time you come on, we get sideways, and you're my favorite person.
We're not really sideways at all. Right.
You kind of got the Michael Jackson Thriller album bang, just kind of barely. It could come down if you wanted to and kind of do beat it if you needed.
That's
you need
a problem. It's like a little
like
jerry
it.
Curl.
Yeah.
My hair, like this morning, obviously I didn't do anything. It can be a really curly afro. But when,
I'd love
I'm on,
to see that, like Grant Wistrom's roster pick.
When I'm on TV, I try to slick it back more just because it will have that volume, Cat.
I think it's
what
it
does Jess
good.
Think of this whole thing?
She likes it.
I think when you're slicked back, that's when it looks best. I do have a question about wardrobe, and now I feel bad that I have the question. But is there a T-shirt underneath, or did you just wear the sweatshirt?
I think that's the best question
that
was asked all day.
Let me ask you this.
Minus the two questions of John Kelly about the Blues on the road.
I've been working with you guys for about 8 years. What do you think? Now, if I had to give you, and I'm not even going to give you options, do you think there's anything underneath this
sweatshirt? No, I have a feeling no, and I'll tell you why. Because you're tired, and when you come in, you're not looking to impress us with your wardrobe. However, I do think if you ever wear a zip sweatshirt.
The guy wearing cargo shorts is asking me this, by the way, but go ahead.
Can I finish?
Yes, go ahead.
It's been my policy that if I ever wear a zip sweatshirt like this is, that there's a T-shirt underneath. It's very Hoosier to just wear it as a shirt.
I think you're wearing one of those Tony Soprano wife beaters.
Exactly. I always
wear. It's important to be able to own people's souls. Wow, God.
I always wear.
So Southside.
I always wear the wife beater at all times. I love wearing the wife beater.
I can't imagine Jess likes that.
She hates it.
Yep.
Under suit, you wear the.
I wear a wife beater almost 100% of the time.
It's too much material. I don't need extra layers.
No, see, I
start sweating.
I think it feels much better under a dress shirt than a T-shirt. I wouldn't want to wear a T-shirt, but I want to have something underneath the dress shirt. That's how I roll. Yeah.
Hey, boys. My buddy Travis, we call him Sweetheart, is going to be at the game tonight in San Jose wearing a pair of Lucky Blue socks. Knowing that it's hard to see how the note doesn't win. A small taste on the note might be in order. Thanks. That's from the 314. Sweetheart will be at the game wearing Lucky Blue socks. Does that change? I would have liked to have known that before John Kelly came on, but does that change your...
You think it'll sway the betting line?
Could. Go back to both.
Your man Chode is on the scene.
Chodesky.
Maybe you send him a text. This might be a good human interest story.
That would be a really
I know
fun piece.
Local news stories love to get the fan angle. That's
I will
the
say this.
Important.
Look. I know Chicago's very close. You can drive there. Dallas, obviously, that's like a 10-hour drive, so you're flying. But I went there for Game 5 and Game 7, and there were a ton of Blues fans on the flights. We were flying Southwest, but you know the same people were there coming and going there. Tons of Blues fans, and they'd get there early. You're doing your live shot. I mean, there'd be 50, 80 Blues fans with their gear on. So I'm guessing there will be a decent amount going to San Jose.
Tell Tim how you wrapped up your live shot. Yes, it was really good.
Got an Emmy coming your way, baby?
What
Tell
I did
what
was,
you did.
Cat was right next to me. At
and,
6 o'clock,
and I was like, that's my boy. That is my boy.
At 6 o'clock, we had a soundbite from Brandon Moss talking about how, hey, you got to get something rolling. You know, are we looking at the Cubs? I don't know. They're 8 games up. It's the quarter
and that was
of the season.
And that was exclusive sound. I got shut out of it.
Oh, wow.
Because here's what happened. I'm going off on a tangent here. But Brandon Moss, before the game, I just needed like one player talking about baseball. Because you know you're going to get Matheny. You know you're going to get Matheny. I needed one guy. Moss is there. He's the nicest guy in the world. I know he probably didn't want to do it. And I go, Brandon, can I just get – I'll literally ask you two questions. He's like, all right. I said, I promise two. So I walk over, and as I walk over, like 10 media people come with me. So then I feel bad if they're all asking questions.
Welcome to my world.
I know. But anyway, the first question was just like, hey, back at home, getting a roll going, try to get over 500. Second question was on Wainwright. And I think everybody else was like, hey, we're going to do more. And I was like, no, I promised him two questions.
And that's a good man right there.
And then everybody else was like let down.
Were they mad?
Not really. What was the other part of the story that we were starting with? Oh, yeah.
Your
6 o'clock. 6 o'clock. Brandon Moss Bite is rolling. And there's all these kids walking by.
You nailed it, by the way, leading into that bite.
Thank you. There's kids walking by. They're, you know, walking around the field with their Little League uniforms. And so I grabbed a group. I said, hey, you guys want to be on TV?
Nice.
And in the sound, but I said, hey, we'll come back on camera and I'll say, you know, we'll say, throw it back to the studio, let's go Cardinals. So the little League team of about 5 or 6 kids, they said, back to you in the studio, let's go Cards.
Wonderful.
And he did it on the fly.
And it makes me look like I'm a nice person, like I care about kids and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Right, and we know you don't.
Right, but it makes people think that, like, I'm a good person.
And the cat, you cheered him on for that.
I thought it was wonderful. I watched his sportscast and I said, this young man has something.
That's the kind of thing that news management loves. That was probably a check mark for you.
Hey, not my first rodeo.
Yep.
And the way he ordered the kids around like he was an 80-year-old reporter. All right, kids, you want to be on TV? Get over here. All right, you're going to say, let's go Cardinals, back to you. Okay. All right. And then once he was in the soundbite, he clarified the instructions one more time.
No, you're wrong. I told the kids during the soundbite. It was like I had 25 seconds to get the kids in position and tell them what to do.
You know what? You're right, and that made it even more impressive.
I mean, we're talking deadline pressure here.
Yep.
For a big 6 o'clock live shot.
Makes Tim miss it. That's why he's going online and reading something.
He's reading about, what was that? Is that Prince?
Prince, yeah.
What's going on?
There's a money war with the estate, you'll be surprised to hear. I did just see this, and I didn't realize they were shutting down. All the sports authorities are shutting down. Has that been made public, that they were in trouble?
Yes.
Has it really?
Okay. Yeah.
I think I have a $25 gift card.
Better get that now, baby.
I better go use that.
It's in the Post-Dispatch or just on STLtoday.com. Sports Authority is closing all of its remaining stores after liquidators made a successful bid to acquire the chain's assets in a bankruptcy auction. So clearly it's been going on for a while.
I always find it amazing where a chain that has so many stores, you know, they're all over the place. Is it just bad luck or is it bad decision-making by the folks up top?
Online. So many people buy everything online. My fiance, I'm telling you, every day there's at least one package, if not two. I don't even know what it is.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Two packages or one come every single day.
Yeah, and the UPS guy knocks on the door. Ugh.
Dog goes crazy.
God bless. I go crazy.
How many washings between wearing sweatpants? What's the standard for that?
Sweatpants are different, especially because I wear sweatpants to the gym. So I'll wash the sweatpants after if I go to the gym. Now, if I'm just wearing them around the house, that's different.
The cat, Charlie, and I see each other at the gym. It's awesome.
Yep.
Do you high five?
Yeah. Kind of like great show this morning.
And do you say to each other, let's get a good pump?
Yep.
If I see Tim in the corner and I know he's going to walk by me, I'll make sure I do a bunch of push-ups just so I look a little more ripped.
I notice that.
Get a little pump going.
I notice that.
Hey, little man.
Right.
Hey, little boy. Good to see you up here.
Did you notice how much I'm benching over there?
I did. Funny you should ask. I did. Let's see. Charlie, that was a statement, not a question. Greg Popovich would love you. That's from the Dogtown Astrovan.
I don't even know what he's talking about.
I don't either.
I don't either.
Okay, perfect.
We all do that, though. Like, I don't even have any good questions to ask. What do you ask before the Cardinals game? It's not that interesting. Okay, you're 40 games in. You're a game above 500. It's like, hey, let's get it rolling. And Waino, you know he's going to bounce back. I mean, that's... What other angles?
If I went down there with a Channel 4 camera just to bring it back and keeps it real like I did from 2000 through 2005, I'd say, listen, you guys are 5-14 against winning teams. Do you think you're going to be sellers in a couple months? That's where I would go.
I like that.
So you can use that tonight.
Wong starting against a lefty, is that a sign that he's starting to come around?
I agree with you, but don't you think it's different when you're talking to a specific baseball audience as opposed to, I think local news, you don't want to get necessarily X's and O's with the sports. Like breaking down splits, lefty-righty, I don't know if that plays as well.
That's when you go Hazelbaker and the haunting.
Yeah, that haunting story has legs.
That's what I'm saying. The haunting story is perfect for local news.
Hey, Marblow.
Not that funny.
You don't have to keep mentioning your fiance. We get it. You're hetero. Thanks, Rocco. He takes offense to you mentioning your fiance.
I don't like saying.
We all talk about our families.
I don't like the word fiance, though.
Okay.
I mean, for years you say my girlfriend, and now I have to say fiance.
Well, it means that you're engaged.
I know, but I don't like the word.
How about this? Call her your lovely lady.
I don't want to call her by her first name on the show because people don't
know her. Try that out. Say something about her and say my lovely lady. Nice. Say that.
My lovely lady. She's beautiful.
Works. She is beautiful.
Yeah, she's fine.
But I feel weird saying fiance.
Why?
I don't know. I just think it's because you only say it for like a year. Then I have to say a new word.
So you're against disposable words.
Yes. I like one word to use forever. Like you guys are both my friends.
Oh, my God. Can forever. I give Charlie like a gift certificate?
Fregazzi's?
Guys, Charlie does have the best hair that comes from Hung Like Lex.
Well, you do.
I'm jealous as the day I was born.
I've never grown my hair out. And now that I have, kind of just randomly, I get people on Twitter and Facebook. They're all just talking about it.
I wonder if our male listeners now would rather sleep with you than Doug.
Wow. 314-880-0808.
Good question.
It's like your hair has had a coming out party.
Guys, there's a great story called The Death of the American Sporting Goods Store that came out yesterday on Racked. That's Juan from the PP Corp. Huh. I wonder, I'd be curious to read that. That would actually intrigue me.
Didn't you like going to the Sports Authority? Maybe I'll get a pullover. Hey, I could use a new pair of running shoes.
I loved as a kid going to like the smaller sporting goods stores like on Hampton Avenue on the south side. That's which we're looking out at right here. That's where I would go, and I would love it. Just to get like wiffle balls or look at baseball bats or whatever the case might be. Ideally, some guys trying clothes on, and I could get a peek.
I would like to see a pair of batting gloves and think, you know what, I'm going to get these for Charlie Marlowe. He would like these.
You missed the golf tournament. The Cat Big Al was wearing gloves on both of his hands.
But not playing.
Just like Spieth.
My son, when he plays 7-year-old baseball, he wears batting gloves.
Chuck, when you say fiance, are you talking about the buffet at Golden Corral? It's from the Lee May Blueser.
I've actually never been to Golden Corral.
It's very nice.
That's a true story.
I've never been.
Don't they have a big cheese block?
No, you don't make enough. Brother Rascal. That's you. White yes. Rascal. I think you should go with the from Justin to Kelly look. Justin Guarini, if you recall. 7 out of 10 would bang.
Was he biracial?
I believe so.
My hair gets like that, though. I'm telling you.
Nice. Your hair gets
biracial. You saw it right now. I mean, it's got a head set going on, but it gets to
be you get
pretty,
that thing trimmed on the sides, man?
I need to, yeah.
But so you
it
got
gets
fade.
Pretty afro-y.
But people make a fuss over your hair. It means you're doing something right, sir.
Sometimes they really get upset about your hair on the fan page, I notice.
That's what I'm saying.
Your hair and Bobby Vestal are the two things that I think have the most enemies.
In all seriousness, when you go on TV, all I want is just not to look bad. I don't really care about, like, I try to dress well, but I'm not like GQ, and I just don't want to look like crap. That's basically, like, I don't really care what my hair looks like as long as I don't look stupid. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, as long as it's just, like, normal, that's all that
matters.
You don't
have mustard on your face.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
And I get grief from the players on whatever suit I might be wearing. Or,
really? Why is that? Matt the Bat, probably.
Wainwright, because I wear blue with black shoes. He goes nuts.
What you wear there? Brown shoes?
Yeah, he's like, that's a nice suit you got to wear. And I was like, these are just work clothes. You know, like I'm sitting in dugouts, I'm walking on dirt. And he's like, no, really, get brown shoes. And to the point where I'm going to get brown shoes just so I don't have to hear it.
We had this discussion yesterday, though, when talking about this. We were both saying that black goes with everything, shoes-wise, except for you don't want to wear it with brown. But
I don't have a brown suit, nor would I have.
Right. But I was always taught growing up, with gray, you always wear black. So you're going to wear your black shoes and your black belt.
It should be that way.
But you watch all these shows, NHL Network, MLB Network, and I'm telling you, a lot of guys, SportsCenter, a lot of guys now are wearing brown shoes with gray, which I don't think looks good. I mean, it doesn't look awful, but you look at it, to me, you're supposed to wear black belt, black shoes with the gray suit. I thought that was kind of a given.
And bell bottoms. I like bell bottoms.
Yeah, I do too. I didn't mention that. Golden Corral is the most depressing place killing in America, bar none. Thanks, the Fenton Breeder.
See, I grew up, we had Ponderosa.
Don't like when people brag on the show.
And then the other place, I believe it was also owned by Ponderosa, was Bonanza.
They're very similar.
Well, I think they're the same ownership.
You know what we used to do at Ponderosa? We used to take, it's kind of stupid, but we were kids. We would take ketchup bottles, barbecue sauce, and we'd throw them in the salad bowl and then cover it with salad. And then when people get in there with the tongs, they'd pull out barbecue sauce.
We all did stupid stuff like that when we were kids. Why do you do that? All you're doing, I know it's funny. We get a good laugh about it. You're just making somebody else's life worse.
Right.
The guy that works there and doesn't make very much money, you're making his job more difficult that he already hates to be.
Or someone that just wanted to enjoy a salad now won't have it because there's stuff put in there.
Correct.
Yeah, but when you're a kid, you don't.
Oh, I know. It's great.
Guys, go to Nordstrom for clothes. Individual attention like Woody's, but cheaper. Thanks, Steve and Wildwood. What's going on here? Were we talking about places to get clothes?
I don't want individual attention when I'm clothes shopping. Thank you.
Frank Cusimano told me that Nordstrom's Rack is actually a great place to get men's shoes at a discounted price.
Right.
There's one
Frank
over there
fashion,
right by me in Brentwood, by Whole Foods.
I hate the whole fitting process where the guy comes and marks it up and tells you, we might have to take in the pant.
That's tough.
And he's got his hands on you, too.
I know. It's great, isn't it?
No, it's awful.
Oh, yeah. It's a matter of opinion.
Oh, yeah.
With the seam and the in.
Oh, yeah. Just part of the deal, man. You're in a wedding these days. You got to do the tux and all that. I like it, though, when the people in the wedding say, hey, let's just have you buy a cheaper suit. You can keep it. I was in a wedding where I spent like $180 to rent a tux. At that point, wouldn't you just spend like $250 to get a suit? Not going to be the best suit in the world, but at least you can have it for the rest of your life.
Because when you're part of a wedding, you have to do what they want to do, and they might want a turquoise tuxedo.
Right.
Okay, but that's dumb is what I'm saying. Like my brother got married, and he said, go to Men's Warehouse. You can get this gray suit. It wasn't the nicest suit in the world, but I still have it. I bought it, and I can use it, as opposed to a tux. $150 that I never see again.
And you've worn that suit on the air.
Correct. I wear it often.
Tim, would you rather answer the front door or go to Golden Corral? That's a great question. That's one that'll make you think. It's from The Hunchback of Von Castle.
Isn't that obvious? Because I feel like Golden Corral is, I mean, still you're going to get some food.
Golden Corral.
Yeah, and I mean, going to the front door is a bad thing.
It's got no upside.
That's what I'm saying.
That's always the analytic. What's the upside on this move? There's no upside to answering the door, ever.
Now, what about this?
Dogma. Unlearn.
You're at a breakfast buffet, right?
Okay.
Are you really going to wait in line for your omelet, or are you just going to grab the scrambled eggs because you can put it on your plate and start eating?
Not a great question.
Instead of waiting 10 deep for a Western omelet. Like, I think to myself, I'd like an omelet, but the juice isn't
worth the squeeze. Yeah, the thing is, for me, it's an easy play because I don't really care for omelets. So I got to withdraw from this conversation.
I do love omelets. I will say this. If there's three or four people in the line, I just go get the scrambled eggs, and I'm fine with it.
Fine.
If there's no line or one person line, I will wait for the omelet.
And if I may, because this is something that's been a burning issue with me for There is a big difference between hash browns and breakfast potatoes. Like a hash brown it's kind of like what they have at McDonald's. It's sort of a fried thing. Right. They'll try to give you chopped potatoes and call it hash browns. Not the same thing.
Let me tell you this. The Dallas, the arena there, American Airlines Center, their media meal for both games was fantastic before the game.
Can you tell us what it is?
Now, here's
what
it was. The
audience always likes when the media talks about its meals.
Yes. Saturday's game was noon. So they had kind of a breakfast look because it was, you know, you're 9, 10 in the morning when you're getting
brunchish.
There. Brunchish, yeah. It was, what you just said, pulled pork hash browns. Think about
Whoa.
That.
Oh, my word.
Whoa. Just hash browns that were tasty with little pieces of pulled pork all in the middle.
Now, here's what I do something like that. If I know that they're going to have a great spread, I bring a bunch of Tupperware and I put in the Tupperware and I take it home. Eat on that for a week.
Yeah, I'm going to think about that for a little while.
Nothing wrong with that.
I swiped so much damn brisket from this place the other day when Tom from Salt and Smoke drops them off.
He brought a ton of
them. I'm telling you. God bless Tom from Salt. I haven't heard the spot. Everybody's talking. Plowshark, can we play that spot? Can we have Peyton play the spot? His new spot for Salt and Smoke. I think Tom is the most talented on-air guy here at the station.
He's funny.
Except he owns restaurants.
And this brisket is the best you'll ever
have. It really is. Anna Marie, she swipes them off my plate, and I always like have to shoo her away. And she goes, wow, that really is good.
Yeah, but no one should be taking food off someone else's plate.
Thank you. Good for you.
The wife can get away with it, but it's not good for
her. No, she couldn't get away with it either.
Wife, fiancé, you can do that.
I thought you didn't like the word fiancé.
But I'm just saying, for me in this situation, for a year.
My wife can do it, and I don't say anything, but I don't like that. Oh, what did you get? Why don't we share that?
No, I don't like that. Thank you. I don't like that.
No, thanks.
No, I don't like to share. Really, it's all about me. You might be surprised to hear that. Hey, here's the salt and smoke commercial.
Are you ready? Are your pants on?
Just a couple of superstars hanging out in the men's room.
Oh. Hey, this is Tom.
That guy's attractive, Doug.
Remember that first time you Robin fed your boo? Warm meat and breath you chewing fill the air. The brisket sweats wash over you both, while that sticky sweet sauce binds your taut, rewarding bodies.
It make my ass chesty.
Love yourself. Love me. Love Salt and Smoke.
That's awesome.
Yep.
And he writes them all himself?
I believe so.
That's great.
Okay. He's better than anyone on the stage.
There it is. St. Louis U Hive. Finest high school west of the Mississippi is what they say.
I would have to think, too, that, I mean, obviously the product is great. But you hear those commercials, you remember them, they're funny, you want to go even more. I know we say this all the time with sponsors, but truly, people, that is the best brisket
it
I've
is.
Ever had in my life. It's not even close.
And that batch,
so
you,
good.
That batch you brought, it was unbelievable.
It's mouthwatering.
The cat, Doug, and myself were just kind of back there in the kitchen, just kind of salling in and waiting, knowing Roderick was on his way, and knowing we didn't have much time.
There's nothing that can keep me at the station. Like, I have things to do, so I'm out in a flash. If there's Salt and Smoke, I'm salling in.
You do know it's good when the other hosts, you know, drive 45 minutes in from where they live just to eat the free food in the morning.
And the thing is, Roderick, he doesn't even hear the radio that it's – he can smell it. Wherever he is, he gets the scent of free food.
Guys, I love Charlie's hair. He reminds me of the one Jewish kid at an Ole Miss party. Thanks.
I have gotten that comment a lot.
You have? But you're the Jewish kid at an Ole Miss party? I've never heard that line in my life.
No, but I've heard that type of haircut, kind of the curly look on a white person. I have gotten that comment on social media. That's all I'm saying.
I'm a member of that particular tribe, and I don't see it.
Are there a lot of young kids when they're 12 or so that kind of have the curly, longer hair? I don't know.
I didn't.
Like I said, I just...
You're not aware of the Jewish curly hair?
Yeah, I've gotten
that. Are you serious?
Comment.
You're being totally serious right now. Wow.
I mean, you talk about big noses. Yeah, sure. I mean, if we're going to stereotype,
right.
Sure.
I know, but I was saying, Mix, man can't be out in the sun. Got trouble, brother. Telling you. Terrible attitudes. Little bit of a problem with the booze every now and again.
They like to fight.
Small penis. Got it. But when it comes to the curly hair on a white man, no, big nose is a, but the curly hair on a white man, I thought that was an understandable Jewish thing. I must be off the mark on
this. I thought that as well. I never heard about
maybe this
small
is a Midwestern
penis.
Impression of Judaism.
I never
fascinating.
Heard of,
I want to talk about this for four more hours. I'm going to do another
one. John,
I never heard of small penis with Irish people, though.
Yeah.
I really haven't.
Yeah, right. The Jewish people
plow shark liked it. There was like a little laugh from the grassy knoll.
If they have curly hair, sometimes they will grow it out to cover the horns. So that they're not...
You can barely see that horns.
Plow shark, did you drop off the emails or did you just drop off a love letter? What the hell happened?
You got it in the corner there?
I thought I saw you come by. I'm like, where the hell did it all go? There it is. I got it. Don't
they're
you worry
shifting
about that.
Their shape.
Let's see.
Where's that from?
Borat.
That's right. 10 years old. Think about it. It's time for the email today. Giving away quite a prize, and we have a hell of a race going on in our email today for the email of the month in May. It's free custom club fitting with a golfsmith specialist. I never responded to the Barnhart Brawler's invite to play golf with him. And what I was getting to before we got on Blues Lounge, you have to figure out how we got to topics, is that the Barnhart Brawler is calling everybody, at least who's on his side of the aisle, so to speak, brother or sister. So he said to me, Brother McKernan. I don't think he would call Doug Brother Vaughn. And invited me to play golf. And I'm looking forward to getting back out there and playing some golf this summer. And you can get a free custom club fitting with a golfsmith specialist by winning today's email of the day. I haven't gotten clubs since 2004, though, so I have a feeling my club's going to be super outdated. But when I was out at Normandy and it was so beautiful, I was thinking to myself, man, I wish I was playing today. You know how nice it was when we were out there on Friday. Charlie, can you workshop this little rhyme with me?
Sure.
Charlie, he ain't really fat. Why do people talk like that? Charlie got a handsome face. I let him tickle my third base. Charlie spewed that funny quip, and he rolls that sick whip. Charlie texting trades all night. Most don't know his ass is tight. Charlie, I can't quite finish it off. Will you finish it off for me and post it on that damn fan page? So the menopausal old bitch.
I liked it up until the end.
Yeah, I mean, kind of faded right there at the end. It was like Dexter.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Well, I'm podcasting like the Dickens, and hearing you guys talk about all the hot hockey players in the league. Well, I'm guessing you guys saw the latest issue of Sweaty European Hockey Players Weekly. Bergie made the cover this week, and let's just say you can get lost in his eyes. Also, there's a great article about Hitchcock's diet plan with some outstanding tips on how he keeps that sexy figure. Thanks, Timmy Walters.
Mean-spirited. Walters.
Steven Wildwood, current leader, stunning leader in the Email of the Month competition. Hey, boys. Woke up this morning and wondering if you could interpret a dream I had. Don't know if it was a flashback from all the acid in the 80s or just a weird dream. I was at a golf course in Northern County. Gentleman who I assume is the owner of the business because he was running the show was wearing two golf gloves and a Run DMC-like necklace. Bruce Lee was there, and he was groping women. John Lithgow was there telling guys to pull down their pants so you could see their tramp stamp, which was odd because all they had to do was pull up their shirt. Darth Vader-like voice would come over the loudspeaker making announcements, and the man behind that voice took a young lady prisoner and fondled her feet. Some guy on meth was wearing a velvet jacket in the middle of May looking for a money man to take care of him. There were mostly guys there, but one gal was wearing a scissor shirt and seemed to have the best chance of betting any of the other women that were forced to be there. The dream ended early because we ran out of beer. Thanks, Steve Wildwood.
Steve in Wildwood.
Hey, guys. Top three list of cutest Blues players based on personal experiences. Number three, Roman Turk. April 25th, 2000, the night after Game 7. Don't get me wrong, this feisty check wasn't the greatest thing to wake up next to, but on this particular night, his five hole was just loose enough to make it onto my podium. Number two, Mike Danton, April 15th, 2004, the night before his wrongful imprisonment, conspiracy to commit murder, more like conspiracy to powerbottom all night. We made love as only free men can. Hashtag free Danton. And number one, Ken Hitchcock, June 17th, 2015, the night after a dinner at Al Maguire. Thank you.
Al Maguire.
Oh, yeah, with Marquette.
Yeah.
An unforgettable experience to please so many senses. The taste, sights, and smells linger with me to this very day. Blessed that I could be beans in his double-stuffed burrito. Hugs and kisses for Doug, South City Otis.
South City Otis?
Yep. Cucky the Dwarf, this is the TMA The Glove Edition. This email sponsored in part by the law firm of Leonard & Michaels, the only law firm in the Bi-County region that have been specializing in fan page non-compete since April. Well, guys, you got me a-thinking. The wiffle ball tourney reminds me of my days as a little lad having a catch in the sunshine days of summer. Oh, boy. My stepdad got me my first mitt. It was signed by Dave Rigetti. I was so excited and couldn't wait to take it to the diamond. My mitt was stiff and needed to be broken in. My stepdad slathered my mitt in mink oil and gently put a ball deep inside the pocket. He then used his glistening muscles to wrap a rubber band around my mitt, almost cutting off circulation. He then proceeded to beat it up real nice-like, breaking my mitt in ever so good. Those are the memories that last a lifetime, even though this only happened yesterday. You just know, you know. Anywho, see you at the tourney. That's from Cuckia Moss Bradley.
Cuckia Moss Bradley. She's new?
Howdy. Blues, Blues, Baby has taken this city by storm. There hasn't been a regional hit like this since Love Circus / Circus of Love. And Doug is consumed with jealousy over it. His trip to San Jose is a cover. He's really meeting with slick Hollywood producers to make his own Four Fox video. Michael Bolton was booked with the new ShamWow commercial. So Snow was in prison, but they finally landed the big-time celebrity put over the top, Jack Wagner. With a few tweaks to the lyrics, his hit All I Need Is Just a Few More Goals will be the new anthem St. Louis deserves and the Blues' new battle cry on their march toward the Cup. Take that, Two Fox. That comes from Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
Bill Pullman.
Guys, Plops, you're always a treat to hear the sweet Prince of Brentwood, the white rascal, first thing in the morning. His stories help loosen my stool like a gallon of hot, frothy prune juice. What was even more of a treat was to learn that Bruce and Shoes is back in the fold. I've said this for years. You show me a gentleman chasing his event planning dreams, and I'll show you a mentally unstable power bottom who knows a thing or two about table runners. For reals, though, it's great to bring new characters into this big, demented family. We'll need some guys to replenish the stable because, let's face it, Timberfake's going to disappear again soon. And Larry's roughly 146 years old in human years. Thanks. Let's go Blues. Misty Plops.
Plops.
Yep. Heat. Guys, my friend and I, Sid Bream, usually partake in sexual activities during our hangout sessions. We decided to bring a third party to spice things up. We looked up and across the bar was the sexiest thing either of us have ever seen. He walked in with leather pants and a white polo, ordered a Cosmo, and scoped out the bar for twinks. I noticed his come-hither look. Sid and I knew we had found our guy. His name was Doug, and he was feeling frisky. We whisked him away to our room at the Quality Inn. Then Doug dropped Sid's pants, mounted him on the coffee table, and gave him a rough jackhammering while I watched. Then I mounted Doug. There we were, Doug, Sid, and myself all mounting each other. We had Lupe the maid take our pictures so we could all cherish the memory for as long as we live. Thanks, Spanky LaValier.
Spanky.
Sup, Twinkie Twinks. Sure, Diaz makes too many errors, but his hitting's remarkable. He's like Doug Vaughn. Sure, Doug trolls the Grove late into the night, chumming for Twinks, but he shows up for work every day on time and spews hot takes, hockey poems, and funny ha-has. These two are underappreciated St. Louis heroes. Can we give it up for Doug and Diaz? Let's chant together now. Doug and Diaz. Doug and Diaz. Doug and Diaz. That's from Jenny Tull.
Jenny Tull.
Barnhart Brawler. Brother Brawler to you, Charlie.
All right.
Guys, I wanted to get your thoughts on something. Mount Rushmore of most Hoosier golf courses in St. Louis metro area proper. You know, the ones where jean shorts and work boots are acceptable golfing attire. The clientele tend to enjoy shopping at flea markets and Busch Light cans litter every tee box. I'm going to go Palm Creek and Arnold. Is it Palmy or Palm? Palmy or Palm? P-O-M-M-E. Palmy or Palm?
Three. Not sure.
Thanks. Palm and Creek and Arnold. River Lakes and Columbia. Riverside and Fenton right there, the old Queen of Hearts. And then, of course, Tower T. These are the type of courses Brother Manchild and Brother Terrell should stay away from. Do good, avoid evil, the Barnhart Brawler.
Brawler.
Brother Brawler, you.
Brother Brawler.
To you. Let's see. I'm trying to make sure I get in all of our top competitors. All right, I'm going to finish it off here. Boys, sorry Doug was unable to make it in this morning. We just couldn't find the key back to those darn handcuffs, hard as we might have looked. I said hard, tee-hee. Anywho, if any of you think of it this way, if we were girls instead of boys, this would have been lesbianism. Pretty neat if you think about it. Stay cute. That's from Dan.
Dan Beal?
Just Dan.
Just Dan.
That's what we have for the email of the day. Who gets a free custom club fitting with a golfsmith specialist?
I put a few check marks in. I like Jenny Tull. I'm going to go Misty Plops. I'm going Misty Plops.
I wrote down three. Jenny Tull was one of them. I really appreciated the menopausal old B word because it was devoted to me.
Mm.
But at the end, I didn't like the way it turned. Mm. By far, the one I laughed at the most is Plops here.
I had Misty Plops as well. It's unanimous. Misty Plops gets another win. And now Stephen Wildwood can probably feel Misty Plops coming. This is really exciting. As we head down the final stretch in the month of May, Misty Plops, Stephen Wildwood, Matt Ubowles at Hanks, and then you never count out Cucky. It's time for the Lion's Choice Famous Roast Beef Handoff to Frank Cusimano's Hollywood Casino Press Box. No suspensions today because Doug wasn't here. It was a very left-wing Congress, so everything was welcome. Ragazzi's, though, on the Hill, you can't go wrong with Ragazzi's, whether it be for fried chicken, of course, any of those Italian dishes and their award-winning pizza. It's Ragazzi's on the Hill. Lion's Choice is a St. Louis original home of famous roast beef sandwiches, and now you can add two LC destinations to the list. Lion's Choice in Wentzville is now reopened, returning after high demand, and check out the newest location in Rock Hill at Manchester and McKnight. More locations mean more of St. Louis's favorite roast beef sandwiches, so if you haven't, visit any one of the 25 now. How about that? 25 Lion's Choice locations today. Time for Frank Cusimano in the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Boys, let's go out and skate tonight, eh?
Let's do this.
For Peyton, for the Plow Shark, for my brother Kevin, for Jimmy the Cat Hayes, for Charlie Marlowe, and for Douglas Sullivan Vaughn, I'm Tim McKernan. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and inside STL.com live, the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.